Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever wondered why? Welcome to Mindshifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. I'm Jeannie Rice, your co-host. We also have co-hosts Dr. Tim Hayes and Michelle Pichet. We will share with you the wisdom of the first century Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. We offer tools and support 5 days a week. We will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love in Aramaic Rachma. Michael is the author of the book, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information about Michael or myself or the forgiveness process, please visit www.whyagain.org. And now, welcome to the show, Mindshifters Radio. Hi, and welcome to the show. Well, happy day after Christmas. Hope everybody had an awesome day. We did. Today is Wednesday, December the 26th, 2018. Our calling number is 563-999-3581. Press 1, and that puts you in queue to talk to us, and we would love to hear your comments and your questions, because that makes this your show. And Michael, we do already have a hand up, just letting you know before you start in on the Course in Miracles. Welcome.
Awesome. Welcome, everybody. Welcome in this holy day season. May the season serve the purpose it's designed for, to bring you into deeper and deeper contact with your wholeness. Oftentimes confused with a religious idea about being down on your knees, but I think the only thing anybody ever really got from that was square knees. The idea of living as a whole human being in touch with the truth of who you are is what this particular body of work is about. And it parallels many of the what appear to be religious ideas we've been taught. But when we get down to the root of them, we get down to their original context, they've got nothing to do with religion. They're simply, here's how to live as a human being. Here is a practical guidance for how to bring forward the truth of who you are as a human being. And our lesson today is lesson 360, counting down. As Jeannie said, we had a wonderful holy day yesterday. I got to spend about an hour of cuteness time with Aria, 15 weeks out of the package, and still just beaming and radiating with that active presence of love. And as she fell asleep on my shoulder, just hanging out in that space, connecting with her, was just amazing. So just extend that energy to each and every one, that pure presence of love that we get to contact when we spend time with a newborn, or when we touch into the truth of who we are, or the truth of each other. And our lesson 360 is about the state that comes from living in that connected state of love. And as we've done before, the word peace is used in significant ways in this lesson. We're going to shift that word back to the original Aramaic word that Yeshua used when we're told that he said, my peace I leave to you, my peace I give to you. The word he actually used was serenity, not peace. So serenity, living in that connected space, be to each of us as we connect with who we are as the offspring of love, the offspring of the Creator. And serenity to my brother who's one with me. Again, back to Einstein's idea. If you think you're separate or separated from the rest of humanity, you're living in an optical delusion. Your brain shows you a picture that is a lie, and we appear, according to the eye, to be separate, but only because that's how the eye has been trained to see. That's how the perceptual system has been trained to operate, and it's been trained to ignore the truth of who we are. So that serenity to each other, to each other cell within this structure of life, we offer and recognize that oneness. And then the Course informs once again that you have the right to bless the world. So let all the world be blessed with serenity through each of us. And that, you know, a blessing isn't something some religiously trained person is given some magic power to do. When you turn to the active presence of love and you extend that active presence of love, the truth of who you are, then you offer a blessing. And each of us is equally able of offering a blessing to the other. So the lesson goes forward to speak about to the Creator and saying, Creator, Father, this, your peace, your serenity that I would give, I give because I receive it from you. I'm your offspring, your son, your daughter, forever, just as you created me. So the truth, whatever happens in your world, the true nature of love that you are is never touched and always retrievable. And so this lesson acknowledges that as it speaks of the great rays and each of us being a ray of this active presence of love remains forever and still undisturbed within me. That extension of love is always mine to tap into and to offer. I would reach to that presence of love in silence and in certainty, for nowhere else can certainty be found. Serenity be to me and serenity to all the world. In wholeness we were created, and in wholeness do we still remain. Your offspring, your son, your daughter, we as humans remain like you, the Creator, the truth of us in perfect wholeness. And with this thought, we say, and this word means sealed in truth, we say amen. So a sweet reminder of who we are, the serenity that we're designed for, lesson 360 from A Course. And Jeannie says, we've got a caller, so let's go straight on and say hello to our caller. Jeannie?
Okay, it's area code 256. You're on the air. Who do we have?
Hello?
Hello?
Hey there, welcome.
Hello?
Welcome.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Delighted. And your name again is?
Gabriella.
Gabriella, welcome. What's on your mind today? How can we support you?
Well, I almost died yesterday on the beach.
Ouch. How did you do that?
I got caught in a riptide.
Well, I'm delighted that you knew how to get out of the riptide.
Oh, someone saved me. So the only reason why I'm here today, and I'm kind of
that got your attention,
right?
I assume.
And I'm just like, it just kind of put me into a state of numbness that, like, I'm kind of just like detached from everyone and everything. And because this is like my second near-death experience in the past 2 years, and since I was a kid, I've been like traumatized. So I'm at the point where I'm just like, I'm done. Like, I'm so done. And it's on Christmas Day. I almost died on Christmas Day.
Well, you know, in this work, we have a little twist to offer to that idea of a near-death experience. And that is that we tend to build an identity that comes from the energetic patterns we hold from our genes, from environmental experiences. And that identity, because there's so much trauma in the world, tends to be focused in trauma. And we take on this idea that that's who we are out of that trauma. And in fact, if you go back to Yeshua 2,000 years ago, he says, in order for you, who you really are, to live, you've got to die. And so we bring a twist to that idea of a near-death experience. And we offer the information that it's really a near-life experience. It sounds like you've been touched. You know, what happens when clinical death occurs is everything that we've ever been traumatized with, everything that's not true about us, goes silent. Clinical death means the whole carbon-based memory system goes silent. And when it goes silent, all that's left is who you are. And you get to taste that presence of being, that presence of love. And it's a near-life experience. It's not a near-death experience. And so if you've had two of those, it sounds like life is knocking on your door saying, hello, remember this. This is who you are. Does that fit?
It's like, I agree. But I agree with that, but it's like, I've been a good person my whole life. Like, I've made a few mistakes, but I've, like, walked a pretty straight path. And even now, like, I help people with plant medicine for a living.
Right.
And it's like, at this point, I'm like, I don't even care. Like, I just, because it's just, I feel like, you know, it's just too much trauma at this point. Like, it's been, like, 16 years of trauma.
So where do you go from here?
I don't even know where to go from here. Like, I'm so numb. Like, I don't even know what to do anymore.
Well, if yesterday you touched that near life place, my offering would be that probably what's happening is that space where carbon-based memory shuts down has been so touched by the truth of who you are is the active presence of love that you've been set into process, and all of that old trauma that's gone on through your life now starts to process out, and sometimes that's beyond feeling. It's beyond what you can even start to comprehend. So I invite you to just pay attention to your breath and be with what moves in you. And very likely it's a space where there's the processing out. You know, we define in this work processing as the ability to hold love conscious, active, and present when something less than love comes out. So my offering is you may well be in the state where you are literally processing out those old traumatic dynamics so that what you tasted yesterday, what you tasted in that recent near-life experience becomes what your life is really about. So I'd just be observing that and see what happens.
I'm just confused. Like, I think everything I've wanted is just gone now. Like, I've wanted love. I want all these things, but I'm just like, I don't care. Like, I don't care.
You're cutting in and out. We're only hearing about every other word. Can you say that again?
I've seen that. Like everything out of now. Relationship. And I hate that. Absolutely. Just, I don't care about relationships anymore. I don't.
Yeah. My apology, but I'm still only hearing every other word. And I don't know. Gee, is there something with my phone, or are you having that cutout problem too?
No, it's happening. It's about every two or three words is disappearing.
Yeah, so I'm hearing
can't
about
hear
every
now?
Second word. Try again.
Can you hear me?
Your microphone's cutting out. What I gathered from what you said a minute ago was that you just finished with it all. You've given up on relationships, and you're in this state of numbness. I invite you to breathe and just be with what moves in you and pay attention to those subtler energies. It sounds like a heavy-duty process place, and, you know, it's something that the mind that we normally live in can't really comprehend, and it can't make sense of it. So that would be my best offering, unless you have a specific question or something we can support you with in the process. That would be my best input, is just keep observing and keep breathing and watch what happens. You may find yourself coming out the other side in a whole new level of being, a whole new level of being the presence of love that sounds like what you've always been wanting.
Yeah, I was just going to add... we've got an echo in the background, too. But I had heard Gabrielle say that she had always wanted love, and now she didn't. But so perhaps explain to her, our take on that is that that's who you are. It's not something you search for or get from someone else.
Yeah, that direct taste. In a near-life experience, it's a direct taste of the truth about love rather than it being something you're going to get from somebody else. So let's try and see if we can hear you one more time, so we can get a better sound. Are you still with us, Gabrielle?
Yeah, she actually just dropped off, but we do have another caller, but she has dropped.
I'll tell you what, let's just give Gabrielle a chance to dial back in. Let's take a minute and see if she dials back in and reconnects. Maybe that's what she was doing, is just seeing if a redial will work. In the meantime, as Jeannie said, when you hold a newborn child. Oh, good. Okay. Let's try again, Gabrielle. Thanks for dialing back in.
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes, you're better now.
Yeah, I was saying that, I agree with everything that you guys are saying, and I am processing. I just don't know, I'm 20, and I shouldn't have this mindset, you know? And I'm here in Cancun. I thought maybe, you know, I was falling in love or something, and then, I almost died. But it's just, I feel like it's just warning signs, and, you know, maybe it's just not for me.
Yeah. And maybe what you're doing is rising into connectedness with the truth of who you are, and that's the real presence of love. That's where it comes from. You know, oftentimes when we connect with someone else, there's an anesthetic effect where the pain that we carry is anesthetized, and we go, oh, this is love. But you'll notice oftentimes, once the stress is up and the chips are down, what people call love in that situation isn't love at all. It's just the interaction and relationship is some relief from the trauma we're carrying. And it sounds like you're perhaps reaching a new... Say it again.
All the guys I meet, they all want sex. It's just like, that's all they see me as, is just sex. And I'm celibate. So I just, you know, it just really makes me
good for you.
Not have even more faith.
Yeah, too much in this culture. We've defined love as sex, and it's not even related. No relationship whatsoever. So it sounds like you've got a good piece of the pie, a good piece of the understanding in hand, and carry on with the process you're in. And again, unless you have a question for us, that would be my highest advice at this moment, is just stay with that presence of love, keep breathing, and let yourself process through what's moving for you. You may find yourself coming out on the other side in a whole different state, and it's a state that's not comprehensible to the intellect. It's not something that your mind can figure out. Mind can't figure it out. It's too big a process.
No, I can't figure it. What do you mean by a question, like a energy question?
Well, just, you know, if there's something specific that we can do to support you in the way of the tools that we teach, a question that you have about it. Otherwise, my highest input is breathe and be with the process that you're in, and I think you're going to find yourself arriving in a whole new space in your life that that your mind won't even recognize you. And that's sometimes a
good
thing.
That's what I want. I mean, I guess I have a question. I was planning on going to Texas to, work on a farm, well, volunteer on a farm. Do you think that's, a good idea for me at this point?
You know, I wouldn't really have an opinion. If that's what your guidance is for you to be doing, if you're traveling, and, you know, farming can be very therapeutic, but if you're looking from a point of view of the predecessor to this show, they did some kind of psychic reading stuff, but we don't really do that. We really are focused in supporting people using the tool of Aramaic forgiveness and waking up to the truth of who we are, and sounds to me like you're well on your way of waking up.
Yeah, I agree.
Well, now, if you've got anger going on, then my highest input would be that you jump on our website, which is www.whyagain.org. The title of my book is Why Is This Happening to Me Again? And the website is whyagain.org. And if you click on the first two words at the top of the page, there's a link that says start here. It'll introduce you to the whole forgiveness process. If there's anger that you're in process of working with, then you might want to tap into and start to use the forgiveness wake-up sheet process, which is designed to remove things like anger. Say again?
Yeah, I'm really angry. I'm on the website now. I just found a page with the worksheet. I've seen that. I'm really angry, really I am really angry. I don't think I've felt anger like this before.
Mm-hmm. And if, you know, you've had, you know, the kind of hurt that you just shared with us that you've had in your life, then anger is pretty typically a response that is a drug to cover up that hurt. And touching into this near-life experience, which it sounds like you had yesterday, will tend to open up and show you the raw content of that anger. And that's why one of the things I suggested you do was breathe, because that will tend to process out and move things like anger. And then if you touch into the wake-up sheet, it's designed specifically to walk you through healing things like anger. And or if you've got a smartphone, you can go to your app store and you can type in the words Heartland, Aramaic, forgiveness. And if you type those words in, you'll be looking at the world's first forgiveness app. It's a free app, totally private app. And there's a wake-up sheet, a step-by-step, here's how you forgive. And when you apply forgiveness to your anger, what will happen is you'll be freeing yourself of your anger. And as you do free yourself of your anger, which is always a drug, it's always a secondary thing, then you'll touch in underneath to the root of the pain that the anger is anesthetizing. And, you know, I certainly hear you loud and clear as a woman, that men are always pushing for sex and don't see you for who you are. And that can engender or resonate a lot of old pain, a lot of generational pain. And the forgiveness process is designed to support you in processing through and removing that, freeing you of that. So that rather than looking to fall in love, what you do is you stand in your own physiology as the presence of love, free of hostility, free of fear, free of pain. And then is when real human life really begins.
That makes sense. I need to do that.
Well,
I really do.
Tap into the app. You can also download my book, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? Free. And the book is a dialogue with a character named Richard who's got some of the same stuff going on you're talking about, only from the other side, as a male in relationships. He's going through his third divorce, and, you know, he just knows that he needs to get out of town. It's those women that are the problem in his life. And we help him to discover that, no, it's actually what's going on inside of him that's the problem in his life. And so we walk him through how to apply forgiveness to remove that pain and trauma and be restored to the truth of who he is as love. And so if you tap in and start to utilize that wake-up sheet process, you'll find yourself touching into lots of things as you use it. And we're here 5 days a week, an hour a day, to support you in utilizing it. By the way, how did you come to get in touch with us, to get in touch with the show?
I felt drawn to both of you. So I was like, let me call in and just see. and just see what unfolds. Like, you're the only person that stood out to me.
Well, why don't you tap in, look at the website, maybe download the book, go to your app store, download the worksheet process, start to use it, and if you have questions, then shout, and we're here to support you in working through whatever your questions are and refining your understanding of how to use the tools so that you get to show up in your
Thank
life
you.
As the pure presence of love that you're designed to do. Honored and delighted.
I want to do that. I love the website.
All right.
I'm looking at one of the worksheets, and it's already making me feel better.
Sweet. We'll put it to work, and as questions develop, please call back in. Number one, let us know how your process is going. And number two, usually, as you start looking at it, you'll develop and refine the questions that you have about it, and we're here to answer those questions.
Sweet. Thank both of you for allowing me to be on the show and just process things. So thank you.
Absolutely delighted. Be safe there in Cancun and your travels to Texas, and keep in touch with us. It's a delight to hear from you.
Thank you. I will. I hope you guys have a good Christmas.
All right, Gabriel. You too. The best new year yet of your eternal life. Sounds like you're getting ready for it in very real ways, so that's awesome. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. Okay, Jeannie, you've got another caller for us?
We do. It's area code 207. You're on the air. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you folks doing?
Good. Merry Christmas.
Hey, we're rocking. How are you, young man? Merry Christmas.
I'm good. Thank you. Thank you. I was just, I want to say to Gabrielle that sex is biological and physical. Love is a state of being. Don't confuse.
You got it.
To.
Yep. Absolutely.
Yeah, and I did a pretty cool mind shifter I wanted to, you know, talk about. And I was having some anxiety, and I couldn't figure out where it was coming from. So I sat down and did a mind shifter, and it started out with stuff like, you know, self-destructive behavior, anything destructive to others is destructive. And then I flipped it over to changing it to be constructive to self and others is loving. Any construction to others and things is love-based, and love-based actions is self-construction. And it was just, the anxiety just disappeared when I saw that I was in a negative mindset and that was feeding me anxiety. As soon as I switched it over to the positive mindset, it was amazing. So
nice.
You know, and it went into the areas, and I noticed the areas that I wrote down that I got to work on. The last ones were probably the ones I need to work on the most. And then I wrote, what would Yeshua do? Whether he's a legend or a myth, doesn't matter.
Right.
And I wrote down the thing about, you know, you teach about regulatory speech.
Right.
And my mind went someplace else with that and said it really starts with regulatory thinking. Is that correct?
Yeah, speech is just a reflection of our thinking.
So
yeah,
really
they're
we
one
have
of the same. They're two sides of the same coin.
Okay.
Yeah, it's all, you know, if you go to the opening words in the book of John where they tell us that it translates, in the beginning was the Word and the Word became flesh, doesn't translate that. It says in the beginning was the mind energy and the mind energy became flesh. And so whatever mind energy we engage in, and our words are reflections of that mind energy. So they're one and the same. They're just looking at different sides of the same coin, you might say.
Okay. And for Gabriella, instead of going to a farm, I would recommend hitting some intensives from the Rice Foundation. Learn the work, mind shifters, learn still point breathing, and get to the intensive. The intensives are
well, and
if you really want to start doing this work, that's where it really, the work really goes.
It definitely opens there, and we'll actually start at the end of May with our first workshop at Heartland. It'll be the Food Fund Forgiveness. Then we'll go into a 9-day Y teacher training, laws of living. Jeannie will be doing the Women Healing Women, powerful space, especially for women who've had challenges in the arena that Gabriella was talking about of, you know, running into men who think that the game is about sex. In fact, Jeannie, maybe you want to talk a little bit about the Women Healing Women work.
Well, it started with my own experience of having abusive relationship prior to getting into this work and meeting Michael and dealing with it and healing, and realized that there are thousands out there who are experiencing the exact same thing and don't know what to do about it. And like me, stuffed it down and thought, you know, if I ignore this, then I can just pretend like it didn't happen. And that doesn't work. I stuffed it down for 40 years, and you eventually have to look at it to heal it. Ignoring it doesn't make it go away. And a lot of those things are genetic. They're, you know, if we could go back and talk to some of our ancestries, you know, even further back than our parents and grandparents, we would find that, you know, they have been through the exact same thing. If you go to our whyagain.org, at the top, there is a link that says Healing the Whole Woman. If you click on that, it'll take you over to my website. That'll give you more detailed information about what I cover in the 9 days. And right now, that is scheduled to take place simultaneously with Michael doing a 9-day Why. And so that'll be from Wednesday, June the 19th to Thursday, June the 27th. And so we'll both be, you know, we'll combine the two groups together for breathing and meals and things like that, but otherwise we'll be separate for the class time. So it opens a space for women to be able to talk about things that they might not be comfortable talking about in the presence of men. And so it just, it opens up a really safe space, and it's powerful. So I invite any woman who is interested in taking it to the next level to get in touch with me. My email is Jeannie, J-E-A-N-I-E, at whyagain.org.
It's whyagain.org. And, you know, being in the presence of a woman who's done her work, who's in the process of deepening the teaching, is powerful. I mean, we had the last intensive that Jeannie did when we were in North Carolina. There was a woman who we had met some months earlier, and this woman just lived with a frown on her face and such pessimism that it was amazing to watch her. And it didn't seem to matter what you said. And I, you know, I was doing a Why Is This Happening to Me Again intensive at the same time as Jeannie was doing the Women Healing Women. And day by day by day, we just watched this woman who'd been in and out of a couple of marriages, was dating someone who was just really caring and supportive and supported her coming to the intensive. But it was just like, you know, life is always going to be miserable. That's just the way it is. And over the period of 9 days, like, you could just watch this frown and this pessimistic attitude shift into a smile and gratitude. And within about 2 weeks, I think it was about 2 weeks of the intensive, we got a note saying, we're getting married. And the pictures, just with smiles that were beyond comprehensible if you've known the face behind the frown prior to that. So it's a powerful space that Jeannie holds, having faced those issues and moved through them. This is, it's not comprehensible in normal human terms, in normal psychological terms, what happens in that space. So if anybody's ready for it, I'd certainly recommend it highly, for sure. And that'll be at Heartland in Theodosia, Missouri, in June. They'll actually start with a 16-day Food, Fun, Forgiveness, and Work program, and then step into that Women Healing Women, and a 9-day Why Is This Happening to Me Again? And we go right into teacher training from there. So if everybody's ready to join us, that would be awesome. Let Jeannie know. Cool.
Like,
so other thoughts for you, sir? Go ahead.
Yeah, can you hear me? Yeah, I would like
You're
to say I'd like to say one more thing, that this work is not cheap or easy. So if we all donate a dollar a month towards the Rice Foundation, and I know it can be done on PayPal. So if everybody just sends what you can, even, I mean, any organization in the world will take a dollar a month from anybody. So send those donations so we can spread this work even further. I think you can do it right
We're
through
certainly
the
willing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and actually we've got someone who just last week opened the space of matching between now and, I believe it's February the 12th or February the 16th, matching up to $3,000 any donations that anybody makes. So that was pretty awesome. We are working on some major infrastructure projects at Heartland, and so it was her vote. She was actually at the Food Fund Forgiveness and Work program last year, and she just stepped up to the plate and said, I'm going to match anybody. So if you decide to give something, your gift will be doubled, and it will go to supporting this work, becoming available, and creating an infrastructure at Heartland that takes the work to the next level, and creating a platform for this work to jump off of. The whole purpose of Heartland is to be a platform for this work to be springboarded to the globe and make it available to every mind, heart, and being on the planet. So if you choose to do that, you can go to our website, whyagain.org, and there's a donate button. So thank you for bringing that up, Shelly. Appreciate that support.
How close are we to hitting the $3,000 match? Are we getting close?
No, not yet. We're at about a third of the way. That was announced,
push.
I think it was Wednesday.
Yeah, it was Wednesday.
Yes.
Awesome.
Yeah, it is awesome. The support is deeply appreciated.
Let's get somebody else on here to love and blessings.
All right, sir. Have a blessed one. Lots of love. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Best New Year yet of your eternal life. All right, Jeannie. Do we have anything happening in the chat room or anybody in the phone queue with a hand up?
No. Michelle is with me in the chat room, and she's been down in Florida. I just got back home late last night. So we're glad that you had safe travels, Michelle. And there's no hands up. We've got several people on the switchboard, so if someone presses one, you are first in line without waiting.
And we've got about 24 minutes for conversation. 24 minutes for conversation. So there's lots of time to get into questions and process. How can we support you? What's happening in your world? What's happening in your practice of the tools? Is there anything about
hand
the tools
up
that we can support you understanding? Let's go for it.
Area code 610, you're on the air. Who do we have?
Hi, Susan in Pennsylvania.
Hi.
And Tim in the other room, too. We're both listening. We're trying to stay apart so we don't get an echo.
I've turned his microphone on as well.
What did you say?
I turned his microphone on as well, so if he wants to speak, he can. We can hear him
as
well.
Oh, okay. Well, I surprised him. I've had a question for some days and would love to hear you talk about meditation. I've read over and over again and I have how good meditation is for us and how necessary it is to grow. And I've tried to meditate for years. I used to get up really early in the morning, even when I had tiny children, would go sit in a little chapel that we had in our house. I would just fall asleep. I don't do very well with meditation. And the way of mastery now is saying, take 5 minutes in the morning and 5 minutes at night for a month and be the Christ. Look out at the world as if you are the Christ and do that for 5 minutes. And I'm having a hard time with it and wondered if you could talk about meditation and do you do it and how do you do it and what do you do with people like me who seem to have just so many, such restlessness that I end up fidgeting and looking at my clock and hoping in the 5 minutes will go fast.
Well, my take is that meditation is about getting the mind to be quiet. Many people use meditation in order to try to deal with or avoid their pain.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've watched people, I remember there was a fellow that in St. Louis that used to sponsor me. He was a doctor in St. Louis, and I would go and stay with him. And he was a very deeply committed meditator. He'd meditate twice a day, 20 minutes. He was into TM. And I would watch him. And he'd have a disturbing situation happen. And he'd say, I need to go meditate. Say, and get quiet. And he'd come back and, he'd be in a better state. But he was using meditation to try to deal with the pain and trauma that was going on inside of him rather than as a space to quiet the mind and just listen and be receptive to that presence of love. What I've found to be the most powerful meditative states I've ever experienced, and I in the early years of doing this work, I found meditation was difficult. More recently, it's become spontaneous and easy for me to just breathe and allow that state to occur. But the most powerful place that I've found of meditation comes from forgiveness. And what I found is that when I, if my mind is restless, busy, and all those things, my perceptual system is running all kinds of energy, and, it's noise. And when I recognize that I have a goal, and it could be the goal to meditate, there's a goal that's driving chaos in my mind, and I'm stuck in chaos. When I cancel the goal, the chaos in my mind collapses. And there's the most powerful meditative place that I know of. And for many people, when they start doing the wake-up sheet process, it may only be a second or a fraction of a second, but most people, when they start to engage in the actual forgiveness process and they get to that core step of canceling the goal that's driving the perception into chaos or fear or sadness or rage or whatever it is, when they cancel that goal, at least for a fraction of a second, the mind goes quiet. And what has occurred for me, as I say, in the early days, just like you, it was just like too busy, too much going on. But more and more as I've engaged in forgiveness, I find that if there's something that's driving my mind to distraction and I cancel the goal, it becomes easier and easier to just drop into that place where I breathe and let myself just be in that still place. And it's like taking nourishment for the soul to be there.
So you're saying cancel the goal to meditate, or are you saying when you discover the thought in your head, you do a worksheet on the thought that's distracting you from meditating?
If it's in the middle of my attempt to practice meditation, but more than that, spontaneously, I'm going through my day and I have some fear come up, so I do a wake-up sheet around that fear. And if I really pay attention when I cancel the goal and the fear collapses, that's the state of meditation. That's the most profound state. And what I found over the years for me is that just has extended and expanded and become easier and easier and more natural. But if I'm efforting, I have this goal to meditate and I better meditate because I know it's going to be good for me, then my mind, if its resistance is to being told what to do, there's all this chaos. Well, I'm not going to do what I'm told to do. You know, it's just, that thing just starts running. Recognize that if in that state the goal is to meditate, it's creating, it's resonating chaos, cancel the goal to meditate, ask Rika in, and let yourself drop into that quiet place.
That is good advice.
That's what I found. The most powerful meditations for me have been, I had a big issue going on. I canceled the goal and all of a sudden it was quiet and there was stillness. And I breathed. And it's a sweet space. If you notice, you know, and I know you've been listening pretty steadily to the show over the last couple of years, if you notice, when someone calls in and we're doing some forgiveness work with them and they cancel it all, oftentimes, I mean, everybody on the show can feel the shift in energy that occurs. And you've heard me say it more than once. So now, with the energy that's moving, I could just not say another word. Let's just be in this quiet space for the rest of the show. But it wouldn't make for much of a radio show, so, you know, we go on talking. But it's that moment after the collapse of perception occurs that, to me, is most profoundly meditative.
That's good. I've been hoping and wondering if some things that I do in my life are, in fact, as good as meditation, but they're just not called that. Who knows? Maybe it's not important.
Well, you look at some of the major issues. You know, you've done a lot of really deep work in the last couple of years. You look at some of those issues when you've been right in the middle of the process. What happens? That's the goal of meditation, is to let yourself just be permeated by that active presence of love. It's not an activity that you do. It's a receptivity to being permeated by that truth of being and that state of love that you are.
I got this little app called, it's a lovely man, Australian or Tanzanian accent. What's it called? Headspace. And I got that little app and I started doing the meditations and I'd just get very quiet and suddenly he'd start talking and I'd think, oh no, wait a minute, this feels like a real, I'd practically jump out of my skin. So after doing it for about a month, I had signed up for a monthly thing for a year and I begged them. I said, this is just not working for me. In good faith, I signed up for a year. Can I get a refund for the 11 months left? And at first they said no, and I said, really? Anyway, they were very nice about it. They said, oh, all right. And I did get a refund. It just wasn't working. And another time I tried one where you breathe and they would count, and you breathe and they would count. And every time we'd get quiet, I'd be quiet. And then the person would start talking and say, all right, then now we're going to do this. And I think, wait a minute. I think I was meditating here. So anyway, I got rid of all my stuff and I'm back to having no props, you know, but
right.
One thing that does happen each time
you do a wake up sheet.
Yeah. That's a great piece of advice. And the other thing, when I'm lying in bed at night, I sometimes do a wake-up sheet without using the paper. I just done them enough so that I know the process in the head.
Right.
And that's a wonderful activity at night. And another one is to just be quiet and ask a question of God or the Holy Spirit. And I get immediate answers, but I think, oh, I'm just making this up as I go. And there's no way of really knowing that, which it is. But my imagination is just good enough that lots of answers come through. Lots of nice thoughts come through. And I think, boy, I hope that's God talking to me because that's really nice. But I'm never sure. And I don't suppose anybody is.
No.
But
so,
that's probably a form of meditation too.
Yeah, here's how you can be sure. Take the advice and follow it. Take the advice and follow it. And when it proves to be so, you'll know you are on track. You know, we do a 9-day intuitive development workshop where the whole thing is a practicum on developing intuition, the ability to listen to that guidance. And what I've noticed over the years as I've worked with people with that is when people first start to activate their intuition, because intuition is a natural part of our lives. You know, when we were three, when the little kid was 3 years old and went out to the backyard, you know, mom was talking to Mrs. Jones over the fence and they're chatting away. And Mr. Jones came out and, you know, gave his wife a peck on the cheek and went off to work. The 3-year-old stood there and watched the energy and knew exactly what was happening. And when the 3-year-old spoke up and said, gee, Mr. Jones, why do you hate your wife so much? Wham, across the head. Don't you dare ever say anything like that again. The child's intuition was functioning, and it was shut down because we live in a world of lies and liars, and nobody wants to know the truth. So when it comes back, when we start to let it come back on again, it's like, oh, well, I'm just making this up. Most often when your intuition starts to function, it will feel like you're making it up. Go ahead and make it up and then pay attention to the results, and you'll see that you're making up true stories. That's when you'll know it's your real intuition.
That's when you'll know it's
your real imagination. They're two of the faculties of the soul. Intuition, knowing without recourse to reason, and imagination, the ability to image in a whole new energy field that is totally and completely new, perhaps to you and perhaps to the whole world. And here you are now fulfilling your true function of bringing a new energy in that's never been seen on the planet. And when you bring it in a way that it becomes available to everybody. You know, it's interesting, if you do some research on inventions and patenting, you find that there are things that have been patented, like totally, completely new things that were patented within 24 hours of each other in 3 different places in the world at once.
I know, that's weird.
That's intuition. That's imagination. And the world has taught us not to touch that because, God, kid, if you know the truth about what's going on here and I'm trying to tell the world a lie, you caught me. Don't you dare catch me. And so it's been shut down. And so go ahead and make up the story and then pay attention to how it fits. And you'll find that when it's really your intuition, your imagination, it's true. You're on track.
I think I've had the idea that God is a lot more separate than me than God really is.
Go back to those scriptures.
Yeah.
Go back to those scriptures and they'll tell you, closer than hands and feet. I mean, how do you get closer than that?
I agree.
The theologies have made the story that God's his power out there in space somewhere on a throne. That's all false dogma within you. The Father, remember Yeshua says, the Father within me does the works. And it's these blocks that we put in to shut it down that need to be forgiven for us to really live as human beings and to live as the offspring of love of the Creator. And I have the thought, Dr. Tim, do you have anything to share on this topic? Stay with us, Jeannie?
No, he's not.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll hold him in a blessing then. So what do you think, young lady?
The idea, I've understood in my intellect that God is, that part in the Gospel of John, I in him and him in me and me in him and all that convoluted thing.
Yep.
I've really understood mentally, intellectually, that God is closer than, there's no distance at all. But I've still discounted the value of the voice that comes to me. And a lot of good stuff comes. But I think, well, that's because I've been listening to Michael Rice on the radio show. And
No.
You know.
No, it's about opening your own direct connection. We're here to not admiring my connection and even not admiring Yeshua's connection, but following the example he gave so that you have the connection he came to bring you. You know, he says, I come to bring you life. The whole purpose of Yeshua's work was not to create a dogma that you went to some special person in a church or whatever and they ran your life for you. It was for you to have that same connection in him, in you, pardon me, that was in him. And so if somebody planted a seed, I'd offer, that needs to be forgiven, that, of course, you're not worthy, you're not good enough, blah, blah, you know, whatever the story is. And it's just time to get rid of that story and move forward. Be the hands and feet. It's our birthright. It's our most natural state. But then the ego mind doesn't want anybody living in its natural state. The ego mind wants everybody living under its control.
Right. I like that you said, go ahead and do it, whatever it is.
Yeah, just do it.
And find and see the results. That's it. That's it. That's what it says, by their fruits you'll know them. There you go. You just said it in your own way. I didn't ever think of it that way, but it's wonderful to have the permission to go ahead and act on those good things that are coming through, but stop discounting them or even thinking about where they came from.
Yeah, and oftentimes when you're discounting them or, you know, poo-pooing them, all you're doing is replicating a power person behavior. How did it feel when your power person told you, oh, you're not good enough, oh, you couldn't, no.
Well, you made that up.
Those are just issues to be forgiven. Yeah.
That is so true. Oh, that's good. Thanks. That
good breath.
Really helped.
Good breath.
Yeah, thanks.
Nice. And how about that young man, Tim, who's there with you? How are you doing, sir?
Can you hear me?
You're loud and clear. How do you be?
Well, I've been working on legal issues, and I wanted help with a worksheet. I seem to be upset because of the fear that the LLC that I'm forming is going to collapse and termination of the trust, which is going to happen at the same time, is going to fall apart. And when I focus on those things, I come to a point where I fear the abyss, and I feel that I will be in a panic state. And so I'm right on the edge of panic a lot.
Okay. So Tim, what meaning does your mind give to panic? What does it say is going to happen to you if you fall into panic?
It feels that I'll just stay like this, stay in the panic forever. I won't be able to get out of it. It's a feeling of total being grabbed by something that won't let go.
Okay. So what if you shifted? Here's what I know brings healing, and that is whatever it is that's in us that we fear embracing literally begins to fall apart when we embrace it. When I bring the active presence of love to, let's say, a state of panic that I hold, and I breathe, what happens is my panic dissolves. So what if you shifted into thinking, okay, I have this fear of panic. I think what I'll do is just breathe and let myself go into that panic and hold that panic state in love. And what will happen is, because panic is a false energy, you know, fear, false energy appearing real, when you hold that in love, what happens is it falls apart because it has no power. It has no essence to it. It's only being that holds that essence. So I'd support you shifting your thinking to, oh, I have some panic, so I think I'll just sit down for a few moments and breathe. And just let myself embrace this panic and be with it. And what you'll probably find is it's like a cloud that just blows away in the wind. It disappears because it's not real. It has no foundation in the truth of who you, Tim, are. It has a foundation in the genes. It has a foundation in the generations of, you know, I'm going to flub it. I'm never going to be good enough. I'm broken, whatever. And when those states are embraced in love, they just dissipate and disappear because we're not designed for those states. So I'd support you just shifting your thinking into allowing yourself to just be with it. Here it is. Let me hold this panic. Let me breathe. Let me hold it in love. Maybe I'll turn to my wife and say, sweetie, I'm getting ready to go into that panic. Would you just focus love toward me and support me being with it? And what you'll find is, like a puff of smoke, it's gone. It's not true.
So when I feel the panic, just let the panic happen and
just let the panic
embrace
happen.
It.
Hold it, embrace it, focus in love. Okay, the truth of who I am is love, and here's my panic. Let me breathe into this panic and let it flow in me. Watch it blow away. The thing that gives things like panic power is we push against it and we push away from it, and by pushing away from it and trying to avoid it, we just add power to it. We give power to it. The opposite is, well, let me just breathe into this and embrace this. Let me hold this in full awareness. And when I stop pushing against it, all the energy I've given it, poof, it's gone. And on the other side of that, I find my competence and my ability and my intuition that will guide me how to do what it is that I need to do to produce the result I want to produce. And you obviously have the legal knowledge and the legal experience to put that thing together. So I say this panic is just a false evidence appearing real. Embrace it and let it go.
And do that many times?
As often as you need to. You may find that pretty quickly it's simply gone. That you're simply done with it. All right, well, we're down to the last few seconds, so the station is going to cut us off. If there's more conversation to be had about it, we'll be here tomorrow, once again, at 1 o'clock Eastern Time. And if we can support you with more process or questions or what have you, that's what we're here to do. In the meantime, everybody, the new year's coming. Have the best year yet of your eternal life. It's an awesome gift to give the world. Blessings.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and myself, Jeannie Rice, and Dr. Tim Hayes, and Michelle Pache as we present the first century Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. We are here every Monday through Friday from 1 to 2 o'clock Eastern Time on Mindshifters Radio. For more on Michael or myself or Aramaic forgiveness, please visit www.whyagain.org. That's www.whyagain.org.